the topic was on the board, it's how to get guys into a good yeshiva, which we'll try and deal with at the end. But it's before Shavuos, so the topic is obviously is going to be about Torah and what Torah means to us, but from a bit of a different angle. Now, as a yeshiva, we also got the shmuzin, and it's very interesting that mashkichim always talk about Torah. And any time of the year, this is the time they have to learn the best. They always say, with Shavuos, Pesach, Ben Hazmanim, Zman, Ben Hazdayim, you name it, this is the biggest opportunity. And the truth is, that it's true. Because every second of Torah learning, every second you sit and learn, changes your life. That's the honest truth. But I don't know, I wasn't at that stage when I was in yeshiva, so I thought it was a bit of a cop-out, so we're not going to go with that angle. But I want to bring you a Chassid Yavid. The Chassid Yavid says the following. He brings his story down. Ba'adam Echad, one man, Shemes, he died. Or Bishas Pitirosa, at the time that he died, Loyhoyo Adam Babesoy, he was obviously an alman, whatever, he had no wife, no children, whatever, or maybe actually they weren't there, I don't know. And there was no one there in his house, he died in the book, and there was no one there. Vesholach Hashem Yizbach, and Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Malach, sent an angel, Beturas Isha, in the form of a woman, and she cried, as if it was a husband dying. And she cried and said, Ishi, Ishi, my husband, where are you? All the people who heard it came in and said, what's wrong? And they saw how she was, they heard her bitterness and her crying, and so they came inside the house. And they found the man, and then they buried him, whatever. The achakein afterwards, noida, it was known. Shahayi Isha, this woman, hoysa mesechtes chagiga. It was mesechtes chagiga. Ashalomat boya Adam, which this man learned the whole time. Kol Yomov. This is Masechta. Chagiga, 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 chagiga. Venasis Duvuka Isoy. And he was so close to the Dovuk, he was close to Chagiga, the Masechta. Bilti Efshali Porah, they couldn't separate the two. Right? Okazois Motzinu Be'emes. This is how we find in truth Eitzel Ezem and Achonim. And he brings down that there are some people who are mamish Dovuk to the Torah. There are some people who live, what do you mean dovok to the Torah? There are some people who are so meshugal oisai dovok. And they sit there and they're nochamal, again and again and again, chagiga. I'll give an example. I was one time at the dentist. And so I went for a checkup. My wife sent me, so I went to the checkup because my wife told me to go, so I went. It took me $250 for nothing, but whatever. My wife told me to go. So I went. So he sits me down. And there's a checkup, okay. And then afterwards, he comes and he sits down, him and his nurse, they sit down with their chair, and they go, Mr. Locke, do you want to hear the good news or the bad news? I was like, this is a dentist? Like, what the heck, you know what I mean? So, you know, me being a, you know, I said, you know, give me the good news first. He says, the good news is, you don't need any fillings. I said, okay. He says, I said, and you know, at that time I was trembling. You know, he sits there all like stern. Mr. Locke, do you want the good news or the bad? I was like, give me a week to live. Just a week, I got things to do, you know? He says, what's the bad news? He's going to hit me with it. He says, the bad news is you have plaque on your teeth. I said, are you insane? He said, do I care? Take it off! Go to the hygienist, do the machine, and take the freaking thing off! He said, next to my bed, I thought that's like a week to live! Huh? I said, I came out of that, I was a wreck. I was a complete emotional wreck. My wife goes, what happened? I said, I died, I came back, you don't know. I said, a dentist! I said, well, what's the pshat? Because this man is a dentist. All he sees all day is teeth. To him, if you have plaque, do you know what that can happen in 50 years' time? You can have false teeth and all that, you know? So he lives it. When he lives it, to him, the worst news is, do you brush your teeth? He said, yes, I brush my teeth. Do you also floss? Yeah. So in my day, so I went to the hygienist, take it off. He goes, do you floss? I said, don't look like a guy who flosses. I said, in my days, you know what I mean? Floss, you brush your teeth with toothpaste, cold, getting finished, you know what I mean? She goes, I'm as old as you and I floss. To them, if you don't floss, what are you brushing your teeth for? You know what I mean? But if you're Meshuggah Isai Dova, that's what you live all your life, then that's what you dream about, you think about, then that's your life. This person dreamt Chagiga all his life. So Chagiga came to make sure that he was buried. Because it was Dovok to Torah. That's what it means. Says the Maharal. the Reb Yochanan brings this down. Unbelievable Maharal. V'ayim b'divrei Maharal mi'prag. We ask this story, he brings it down. Look at the words, the Maharal mi'prag, Nesiva Torah, Perek Hei. V'zeh l'shoinoi. This is the Shloshan. V'al yale al datecha. You should not think, Shah Adam, who nechshev Baal Torah, a person is called a Baal Torah, Bishvil, because Shem Yeshna fond of Mishnah or Gemara, because he has a Mishnah or Gemara, Shayocha lefalpul, he can handle with it. Right? You know what it means here? Handle? Yeah. Lisa Velitain, you know, the Lomdas, yeah. Lehagsha is to ask questions, Velakai Horem, to say a vot. Right? Although it's a very important vot. Yeah? Al Toyameki Zeh Baal Torah. Don't let a Baal Torah. Shari Ein Ha Torah Imar, the Torah is not with him. Rak Shu Chochem V'yedea Lefalpul. It doesn't mean Dovuk. It doesn't mean that. You can sit around and go through a Masechta and learn and have a mind and say a vod and you're not dovuk to the Torah. That's not why Chagiga came. Chagiga could have come with this guy who can't handle a Gemara, but he dovuk to the Torah. He lived the Torah. What does it mean to be dovuk? It's not about coming to Yeshiva for 1, 2, or 3 years and then going back to the real world. That's not dovuk. That's not learning. That's not a Baal Torah. That's not what Shavuos is about. That's not you missed the whole point. It's not what a yeshiva is about. It's not what Shavuos is about. It's not what Torah is about. What is it about? We'll find out in a minute. We'll sort it out. But that's what the Maharal says. Maharal says you can learn, you can have a London and learn and go shmak a vod, go take a shmak a shit. You're not dovuk to the Torah. You're not dovuk to the Torah. A guy, I was once giving a class in whatever, Nachlaot, to a bunch of random people. It's Nachlaot. So, I'm giving a class there, and the guy walks over to me and goes, Abalak, I want to ask you, so I want to go into Kiruv, you know, what I need to learn to Kiruv. I said, well, you know, he's in yeshiva, he's been there 1 or 2 years. So I said, so why do you want to leave yeshiva, you know? Bob Matia, sukkah, you know? So he says, no, I want to Kiruv, I want to, like, you know, help people and stuff. I said, what do you want to help people do? He goes, I want to help people learn, you know, get closer to it. So you don't want to learn yourself. How can you go and teach someone to learn when you can't wait to get out of it? You say, yeah, you gotta learn Bob Matthias. What do you learn? Well, it wasn't for me. You know, something, you know, take long from the short pit. Like, you're trying to convince me? I said, you wanna be car people? You wanna teach people Torah? Sit and learn for 10 years. For 10 years until it becomes dovok to you. That you really love it. Then when you give it over to somebody else, they feel that love. But because yeshiva wasn't for you, and therefore you want to do something good for the Jewish world, so you go and be makar of people, what do you think it's going to take from you? You think you doesn't get it, that you flunked out of yeshiva? So he goes, after a few minutes, he goes, oh, this is, you know. I said, you know, Rav Gav says the same thing. Just for information, because Rav Gav is a major at Kiruv. Rav Gav said, you want to teach Kiruv? Learn yeshiva. You don't want to teach Kiruv? Learn in yeshiva. If you ever hear Rav Gav, it's like everything. It's like, go learn. Right? The reason why I'm teaching here today is because of Rav Gav. Because I never actually was actually a very shy person. I'm still a very shy person. But I wouldn't teach. But you see, I was in COVID for 10, 12 years. He goes, you got to teach. I said, why? I don't do that. He goes, no, because you're insane. Like me, we're both insane. Go teach. And you also learned for 12 years in yeshiva. In Kailo. So you have what to give. How can you give something which you don't know anything about? Torah has to be inside you. The love of Torah. That's what means dovuk to Torah. People always ask me, I teach in many different places, boys, girls, whatever, and they always say, Rabbi, why do we have to learn Torah? Why can't you just be a good guy? Just be a good guy. Sweet man. Do the right thing. Right? Would you have to sit on a bay of a lover and sit down? Is love like this? Is love like that? How does it work? What's the difference? Just be a good guy. The question actually doesn't actually start. The Torah says, Gemara says the following. Barasi Yetzirah. I created the Yetzirah. Or Barasi Torah Tavlin. I created the Torah to spice it out, to help you with it. Which means, right? Simple translation. If you don't learn Torah, right? Every day of your life, then you are in the net, in the reshet, you're in the trap of the Yetzirah. Period. Game over. Checkmate. You cannot go through life and be a good guy without learning Torah. You cannot. Because the Eitz Hara inside of you, the Torah says one thing. This is the way you deal with the Torah. Doesn't mean about staying in Kol, doesn't mean anything. Whatever anyone does, this is not a shmooze about Kol, not Kol. It's about Torah. It's about whatever your life takes you to understand. You want to know 1 hour a day, but that hour a day should be part of your life. It should be like a geschmack. It should mean something to you. Not sit down with an art school and go like, enough today. What is that? You sit down, you keep your cup around, you're like, oh, we're schmoozing, schluff, you're in the middle of shit. That's not what it's a man time means. It could be an hour a day, but that 1 hour a day is chashuv to you. It's because Torah means something to you. How we get how that works, how we do that. But that's what it means. But also, it's a part of the means. If Torah is not chashuv to you, that you're going to learn every day something, then you cannot find a Yetzirah. Right? And I'll tell you a secret. Your wives will not get this. Because it's only applicable to guys. Women is not applicable to them. Because we have different Yetzirahs. When it says Barasi Torah Tavlin, it's talking about a guy Yetzirah. Right? So they say you can be a good guy if you daven 2 times a day and put on tefillin. Right? Which is better than not putting on tefillin. Agreed. But you can't be a good guy, you can't be a Torah Tavlin person if you don't learn every day. So unless your wife went to a very good seminary where she understands this and encourages you, the chances are you're going to, well, anyway, the chances are you're going to have it from yourself. You have to create the desire, the want, the will to sit and learn. That should mean something to you. I'm not even talking about kol or any of that. You know, people always, you know, I teach in age sometimes or whatever. I used to teach in age. And the people would say like, well, you get this actually everywhere. You know, I don't agree, Rabbi. You know, I love these people who say, Rabbi, you know, they know nothing about Judaism, but they have their opinions. So, Rabbi, I feel, you know, it's a good question, that women working to keep the husbands learning, I think is parasitical, and I don't think it's the right thing to do. I don't think that you should have women working for the husbands learning. And then they always quote, you know, it's like funny, like, they know nothing about, you know, like, it's like people always say, like, you know, I don't know what the rabbi said, but I know that if the rabbi's made it up. You know what I mean? And like, so what do you do? Like, you know, you do, I tell these people, so the rabbi's made up. She goes, yeah, I only keep the biblical law. I said, okay, so you light candles, of course. You make Kiddush, of course. You do Hanukkah, of course. You do Megillah, of course. I said, the Megillah is the Rabbanon, the Hanukkah is the Rabbanon, the Kiddush on the Kris is the Rabbanon, you lighting your candles is the Rabbanon, and using your phone on Shabbos is the Dreiser. And driving your car is the Dreiser. So you don't keep it, you don't know anything, right? So people always say the same thing. I don't believe personally in women working and holding their support, you know. And it says in the Ketubah, right? Everyone knows what it says in the Ketubah, you have to support your wife, your wife. Very good. So I always say to them, okay. I say, so do you agree though that people, let's say, you know, you're struggling, so the wife should go to work, right? You think any money, right? She goes, yeah, the wife can definitely go work. It's her career and everything like that. So I said, so you're telling me like this, if your wife goes to work, so you can renovate your bathroom, that's a good reason, right? But if your wife goes to work so that your husband can be a better person and a better husband and a better father, that's not a good reason. At that point, the conversation closes. Right? Or even a better one. They say, we don't think you should sit in COVID 10 years. You should go and study in the real world. Right? So I said, okay. What? Let's say an archaeologist, right? You have a doctor, professor, an archaeologist, 9 years studying something, right? So I said, yeah, he's an archaeologist. He's an enlightened man. Because he's a professor of archaeology. I say, right. See, if I study in archaeology for 9 years, and I go to ancient Egypt, and I dig in the sand, and I take out a pot, and I say, this is a toilet seat. Yes, we can derive from this that they had toilet seats 3,500 years ago. An enlightened man. But if 10 years you're doing Bab Metzia, no, that's prehistoric. It's a waste of time. It's all nonsense. It's all nonsense, right? It's a joke of a question, right? But the point is to understand what it means Torah. When you learn Torah and you understand what Torah is, right? And the biggest proof of this is, you see about HaTshuvah, I still in age for a couple of years, an amazing thing. Guys come in, like, skinheads, like, oh, dude, I'm spiritual. And they come in, and then they sit down and they learn. They give them a Bava Metzia. Within 6 months, they're sitting there becoming more religious, keeping Shabbos. I went up to one guy, you know, I knew this before, so I said, you know, Eilim Matthias, right? So doing Eilim Matthias, so if you find it like this, or you find it on the thing, if you find 3 coins like this, then you've got to be a Machmas. If you don't find 3 coins, what's that got to do with keeping Shabbos? Right? And it's a fact that works. You don't any mitzvahs or seichas apart. If you have a donkey, and the donkey has a baby, now you don't know who the baby belongs to. If the baby was born this, if you have a migun, a chazok, and things, I don't have a donkey, I haven't got a cow, move on with life, right? But the point is that 6 months later, they're more religious. Because Torah is not about what you're learning. When you learn Torah, any word of Torah is like plugging yourself in to a nuclear reactor for your soul, for your neshama. That's what Torah is. Your soul, your neshama, is covered up with muck and grime and trash of this world. And the way it starts to shine and vibrate is by you learning Eina Metzius. That's the way it is. Fact. Metzius. There is no explanation for it. You can't explain it in a way like, why should it be like that? It's only Torah, it's only Yom HaBayah Vav 2,000 years ago. It's not the point. The proof is all about a tshuva who are like that, who learn a limitius. I said, they all end up becoming from through Torah. Torah is chayz lamutter because Torah is what gives your soul the ability to breathe. That's what it does to a man. That's why Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah Tavlin. Because we have a Yetzirah, and the whole point of this world is to be Oymed Ben Nisayon and to Kovash as Yitzroy. And you cannot do that without Torah because Torah is what gives you the ability to do that. Every second that you learn. Again, it's relevant if you're in college or working, wherever you're going to go after, it's not a point. But if you appreciate the concept that I need to learn in the day, obviously the more you learn, the more your soul is woken up. It's like the more time you're plugged in, you charge, put it into an example that you can relate to. If you recharge your phone, the longer it's in the recharger, the more power the phone has. Same to the Torah. The more you recharge your batteries in the Torah, the more power you have. That's the way it works. Right? So what is a yeshiva? What is a yeshiva? What's the point of a yeshiva? Is a yeshiva to come in another 3 years? 4 years? Whatever it is. A yeshiva to do morning, afternoon, evening, say that. Shachris, if you do it. Right? What's a yeshiva? The point of a yeshiva is not for you to sit down morning, afternoon, evening, say that. The point of a yeshiva is to create within inside of yourself the want, the desire to learn. That's done through learning. But if you sit in a yeshiva for 3 years and you never actually create the want, then you've defeated the purpose of a yeshiva. And there are many people, right, who come to yeshiva 2, 3, 4, 5 years, right? And they go to work afterwards and they don't crack a book besides a sitter sometimes from a kippah to Yom Kippur. And they're like, oh my gosh, where were you? I had a friend of mine. So we were in yeshiva together, kollel together for a couple of years. He went to work, whatever. I met him 10 years later. He goes, oh, you're still sitting on the bench, you know, in Eretz Yisrael. I said, yeah, with you. I was on the bench with you. He moved to a place, and his wife was pushing him the whole time to work. He doesn't crack a book. It happens the whole time. Whether you crack a book, when you open up a sefer, when you come back from work, or whatever it is, and you open up a gemara to learn for an hour a day, when you're 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, 120, it depends on the years that you are here, whether you create the want and the will and the desire to do it. It's as simple as that. And if you don't create it here, it's 1,000 times harder outside there. I'm not saying it's impossible. There are some people who flunk it over here when they go out and they get inspired. Okay, I'm not saying it's impossible. But it's much, 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 much harder. The point of a yeshiva is to create for you that desire. And that is shavuos. Shavuos is not so much how many hours we learn. It's what we want to learn. It's to create the will and the desire we want to learn. Because when, says Yerub Yeruchim, when you have the will and the desire, everything gets pulled towards that. The driving force of the human being is his will, whatever that is. When somebody wants to win a athletic competition, once he has the will and the determination, the rest is technical. But it's the will that's a difficult thing to get. Once you have that will, you're prepared to work 6, 7, 8 hours a day to train, it's technical. If you have the passion for it, you'll get there. Because the will, says Rabbi Yochum, draws the result towards it like a magnet, says Rabbi Yochum. So the point of Shavuos is not how many hours you're learning, but how much you want to learn. It's how much it means to you. It's how much it's part of your life that you understand. Like the famous story of the Baruch Be'er, that somebody got up at the Baruch Be'er and they said, in the Aguda convention, they said, a Torah is like oxygen. And the Baruch Be'er got up and said, I'm making a machah. It's not like oxygen. He said, why not? They said, oxygen, you can live for 2 minutes without it. Torah, every second you can't live without it. It's a concept. Torah design is a concept to understand that my life and Torah intertwined. If I'm on the train to work, I tell Gemara out, I'm a different person. It's not for that hour. I'm a different person when I'm working, when I'm at home, when I'm from father, because I said I'm going to get a safer for that hour. It creates the person, it changes the person. I was once talking to a guy who, also Eish Geshe, and he moved to a different yeshiva. This guy was a complete write-off. He came, he was like selling drugs on the back of a car with a flat cap with a bunch of schwarzes, right, 16, right? He came to 18 to yeshiva Eish Geshe, whatever, and he was out for lunch, right? And he learned for 3.5 years, and he changed, he became a black and white hat, jacket, sat and he learned, and then he went to work. And the funny thing was is that he met his old principal. So he walked up to his old principal, he was in the Beis Medrash somewhere, and I was then with the room with him, because it was in my shul or whatever. Manishkel. And he walks up and he goes to, was that by Hartman, you know, who writes the Mechon Yush, the one who writes the Maharal, so he's head of Hasmonean, whatever, it's a school in England. So he walked up to him and he goes, Abba Hartman, hello. He looked at him and he goes, he went white in the face and burst into tears. He couldn't even say anything. He just said, what happened to you? So he said, well, that's my rabbi over there. So he calls me over and he goes, what did you do? What did you do? I said, I did nothing. He just sat and he learned. And I asked him, this guy did every crazy thing in the book. Awesome, what, everything he did. Come on, everything, right? I asked him, I said, how do you do that? I said, honestly, I said, right? I was brought up Haredi, you know what I mean? I went 15 yeshiva. I went to yeshiva. Sat in yeshiva 8 years. Kola 15 years. I did the thing, you know what I mean? So, but he didn't. So I said, honestly, tell me, you know, what did Torah do? He says, Rebbe, he says, let me tell you the honest truth. He says, when you learn Torah, it cleanses your mind. He says, if you really learn Torah properly, he says, anyway, time cleanses your mind. When you learn Torah, it's like a lib on it. It's like a blowtorch to the mind. Just like the blowtorch crushes a thing. He says, I don't remember a thing. He says, not remember a thing, he says. Not only do I not remember what I thought about and what I spoke about, I don't remember what I did. 3.5 years. He told me, I don't remember. I simply don't remember. That's the power of Torah. But you have to want it. You have to really want it. You have to put the effort into it. And that's not a simple thing. It's not coming, going, okay, I'm a bit tired. I remember learning with a guy. I was trying to send a kavod chomer to him. Right? This university student. 3/4 of an hour. He couldn't get kavod chomer. Right? At the end, he took his keys and he threw them across the room with frustration. I don't get it. Now he's sitting learning. He was a Manish God. He got married. He has 2 kids. He's sitting and learning in the kollel, going to Bob Matia. Right? But he put the work in. He put the work in. Because it meant something to him. It's the will and the desire that it means to you that creates that. So how do you do it? So I'll tell you what my Rebbe told me. My Rebbe is a Menorich Olawek, Mashkiach of Torah. Right? That's my Rebbe. So he said once an amazing thing. He said, you could learn morning, afternoon, and evening Seder, and it doesn't mean kihuza to you. Because you're doing it because that's the structure of the yeshiva. He says, if you don't learn 5 minutes a day because you want it, just for your sake, no one's around, no one's there, 5 minutes, just because it's Torah, then you don't create inside of you anything, or very little. 5 minutes a day, by yourself, what you want, create inside of you the understanding that I need this for my life. Because as long as you're in a yeshiva structure, everything you do is because of yeshiva structure, you can do every single thing. And it doesn't affect you inside. Because that's what you do. You're a serious guy. There's a structure yeshiva. You keep the structure. Right? Something like that. There are some people like that. Right? They don't break the rules. They just do what they're supposed to do. Right? So they come, they learn, they go, they come, morning, afternoon, evening, year after year, and then they leave. But the same way they'll do it here, they'll do it in university. It hasn't created something inside. When you stand up for 5 minutes on your own, you're making a choice. You're making a choice for me to learn. Not because of the structure, not because Mashkiach is watching, or the Rosh Hashiva, but because it means something to me. 5 minutes. Obviously, the more you do it, the better it is. But 5 minutes also makes a difference. Because then it's what you're doing something because you want it. It creates inside of you the desire, the will, and the want. Right? So, Rabbi Yochum writes this down on a Mishnah. There's an interesting, famous story, right? Perik Avos, right? I'll finish in a minute. Perik Avos, right? Avos Perik Vav. Says the following: Amar Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma. Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma said, "Pam achas, one time I used to mahalich baderech. I was going on the way. Or pocket be Adam, and a man met me. V'nasan yishalom, he gave me peace. He gave me shalom. V'achzal to yishalom. I said, hello, 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 very nice." Amali Rebbe, Meza Makamata, Rebbe, where are you from? Amalatila said to him, from a big city, Shachachon and Meshal Sofim Oni. I'm from a big city of wise chachamim and sofim, learned people. Amali, Rabbi, he said to me, Rabbi, I want you to come and live with us. Bim Kremen in our place. Vani ete nochana, I will give you. Elef alofim din rezov. Thousands of din rezov, I want him to our Golius. Precious stone, loads of money. Cash up front. Amarti loy, so I said to him, Imata noisani kol kesav zov, I'm toivus our Golius aboilam. You give me all the money in the world. A lot of money in the world. All of it. Any dollar of Mokim Torah. I only live in a Mokim Torah. What's the Mishnah saying? What's the Mishnah saying? And on this, Reb Yochanan brings down his whole story about the Vekas, and you have to make sure it's Dovah. First of all, what's the Mishnah saying over here? It's a Dai story. But that's not what this is about, right, over here, telling you the malice of Torah and everything, you know. What's the Mishnah saying? Nirali, I think, just an idea. It's definitely true. I don't know if it's true over here, but it's definitely true, the idea. Is that the following? He's telling you, you want to know where to live. You have to first make sure that Torah lives inside of you. If you want to know if you're going to end up living in a Mokum Torah, right? Which never ceases to amaze me, the stupidity of the questions people ask me. They'll say, Rabbi, you know, I want to go and live in this place. I say, well, you have chavos there? No, it's a higher live there. I know, we'll work it out. It's no sense. Well, why would you work it out? If you don't live in a Mokum Torah, you won't work it out, and you'll be toast, and your kids will be toast, right? Well, why would it work out? Do you go and get a job and say, you know, we'll go here and see how it works out? No, it's got to have a financial plan. It's got to be responsible. But when it comes to the lives of the wife, the kids themselves, Torah, they'll work it out, right? If you want to live in a place of Torah, you've got to have, first of all, have Torah inside of you. If Torah lives inside of you, then you'll make the decision. That's how he gave up thousands and thousands of dollars, well, millions of dollars to live there. Why? Because he had Torah inside of him. It was a value. It was a non-negotiable value. If I can't learn, if I can't have my chavuses, then I can't live a Torah life, I can't live there. The money's irrelevant. You're telling me you're going to give me millions of dollars? What are the millions of dollars? I have a wife, I have children, I have my own life. And if you know how many people come to yeshiva, go back to America or anywhere for that price, and then they end up living in a place that's not a Mokum Torah, right? And 10 years later they say, oh, you know, it wasn't our, whatever, we tried our best. No, you didn't. You made a stupid decision 20 years ago, and it wasn't a stupid decision. But you made a decision based on the fact that Torah was not important to your life. If Torah would have been important to your life, and you said, if I can't learn, if I haven't got a chavusa or a place for my kids, I cannot live there, however good the job offer is, or however much I have this issue or that issue or that this issue with it, then you will never go there. After that, what happened? That's just the result of what you do. That's obvious it's going to happen. So the question on the board that somebody wrote over there, I'm not sure who did it, but he said, you know, the topic is, how do you get your son into a good yeshiva? You don't. If your son sees his father learning with a geschmack, every time he has a gemar, it's with a geschmack. He enjoys it. It's not like, okay, I'm going to shin now, but when we come back, we'll go do something. And I'm going to shin now, and he sees it. Right? My Rebbe always said, your son has to see you learning, not know that you learn. See you learning with a geschmack. Then you won't have to get your son to a good yeshiva, because he'll have a geschmack at learning. He'll want to learn himself. He'll get himself into a good yeshiva, because all the yeshivas will be asking for him to come to their yeshiva. But if you're a person who every time learns, it's a pain in the neck, and it's an annoyance, yeah? Then you're going to have to use pretext to get your son to a good yeshiva. Hopefully it'll work at the best case scenario. Whether your son goes to a good yeshiva or not is up to you as a father. And you as a father, and you as a grandfather even, to your grandchildren, is based off what you do now in yeshiva. The desire, the will, the want, the geschmack, now in this yeshiva. That's what Shavuos is. When you do Shavuos, we daven, Hashem should help us to have a geschmack in learning, to want to learn, to appreciate nachadaf. It's not everyone has it. To appreciate that I finish a mesechta. It's something, it means something to me when I make a siyum. Not, I'll do my thing, and when your son sits there and goes, oh, very good, son, you know, you finished a mesechta on Mishnayos, you know, bravo, right? But when you finish a mesechta, if you finish mesechtas upon mesechtas, your kid will finish mesechtas, because he wants to be like you. He wants to be like his father. The biggest role model a kid has is his boy, is his father. Father is a huge role model, shapes the kid's life. That's who you are. And the cheshik you have now will create the cheshik in your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. That's what Shavuos is about. That's what Torah is about. That's what Yeshiva is about. Potter.